It's a Thursday morning, so we all know what that means. It's the voice of the Gophers, Mike Grimm, rejoining the program. Mike, as always, love to have you on. Appreciate the time. And I've been thinking about this question since we last spoke because we ran out of time and I couldn't get it to you. But we had a conversation, if you recall, from last week where we were talking about the talent discrepancy that the Gophers have in the Big Ten. And we were talking about what recruiting can do to help that, what NIL can do to help that. But the one question I couldn't get to was, why is this school struggling so much to recruit their in-state talent? And we can talk about Isaac Osama, who did commit to the Gophers, but they only had two of the nine recruits in the top, 300 rankings, whatever it is, out of the state of Minnesota coming to this school. And you look at this coming year, the top three in the state already going elsewhere. Why can't they recruit in-state?
Yeah, that's been an age-old question. Now, last year's team had, I want to say, three starters from Minnesota and a couple guys coming off the bench. But, the good news is the state produces a lot of players, and the Gophers can't take them all. So there's just going to be some guys you just, due to needs, due to roster stuff, everything else, that you're just not going to pursue. Maybe it's not a great fit. I know in the case of a couple of guys that didn't come out of last year's class, it just wasn't a fit. I think one of the families is a transplant family, so they have really nothing in terms of ties. Part of the reason they hired Ben Johnson was to help improve that. It has been okay. I don't think it's been great. We haven't had the heyday, though, of the mid-2000s, where Tubby Smith did keep some guys home. Remember, Royce White, who ended up being a star at Iowa State, was on campus and enrolled in school, and he was there with guys like Trevor Mbakwe and Rodney Williams, and I'm trying to think who else from Minnesota around that time. And then he lost a little momentum, and then that historic class included Tyus Jones. I don't remember exactly what year that was. J.P. McCurra was in that class. Rashad Vaughn was in that class. It was I think Reed Travis was in that class. It was an incredible class, and the Gophers got none of them. And they just really haven't recovered from that. So I think it's a combination of things. I think it's an age-old question. Certainly, on the football side, has been solved. PJ Fleck has done a really good job, particularly the last 3 years of getting the top football players in the state to stay home, including Coy Parrish, who was first team All Big Ten as a freshman. And then you look even with him, there were a couple of guys like Quinn Carroll who he didn't get to stay home. Went to Notre Dame and then still got 3 years out of him as a Gopher, talking him into coming back. So that part of it looks as if for the moment that part's solved. Basketball has been a mystery. Some of it probably has to do with the lack of success as well. I mean, this Gopher team is, I'm in my 19th year here, and I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I think I've called games in five NCAA tournaments in 19 years. That's not great. So, in fact, is it five or four? Anyway, I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. So I think some of it's success. Sometimes kids want to get away from home, right? I even think of my own kids. One of my daughter went to school about 4 hours from home. My son went to school much closer to home. So some kids want to, branch out. Some kids want to stay close. And so there's so many factors. Winning will help. Getting that NIL funding up to standards with the rest of the conference, or at least get you competitive. The revenue share will help. And then you just have to hope that the state continues to produce high-end talent.
I understand what you're saying about fit, and maybe Ben Johnson isn't interested in these guys, but if we look at last year's class, like I'm looking at Jackson McAndrew out of Wayzata, and maybe he was one of the transplant families, but that felt like a prospect that could do wonders for this Gopher program, and you lose him to Creighton. Like Isaiah Johnson Origu, I thought was great at Ticino Grace. I watched him a couple of times. You lose him to Miami, who feels like they're just as much in the mud as the Gophers are. So it's like...
But Jake, those two have NIL funding way higher than Minnesota.
So is that the reason, Mike? Is that the reason? Is it the NIL?
I think I think some of it. I don't know specifics on either of those, but remember, Miami was paying everybody, and they've really struggled. They're one of the programs, and there's a few like this. Indiana has this going. Indiana's got the second highest, from what I understand, the second highest NIL funding for basketball in the Big Ten, behind only, maybe it's the third, behind only Oregon and Illinois. Well, Oregon has been no good. Indiana's been no good. So you get a bunch of mercenaries, and what happens, I think, and you see this, both Indiana and Oregon have gone on these long losing streaks now. You bring in a bunch of guys that are there for the money, and when things start going sideways and pear-shaped, it's easy just to kind of give up. Hey, I got my money. Let's just get through the year. And you look at teams that maybe are more built around team and culture, Michigan State, for example. Now, they have pretty good funding as well, but that's a team that has long tradition, long-time head coach, one of the best head coaches, and they're very good. They lose a game, and they're right back into their winning ways. So, you know, it is interesting. Creighton could win the national title this year, right? I mean, that's really good. I mean, that's a Big East team. That's not like Creighton of the Missouri Valley back in 2005. I mean, if Minnesota lost a recruit to Creighton back in 2005 or even 2010. But times have changed. The Big East, in terms of how they have, one, they've got a nice lucrative TV deal. A lot of those schools that don't have football. Now, football drives the engine at almost every place. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side of that, those Big East schools don't have big football expenses. Creighton doesn't even have a football team. So guess where all of their fundraising and money goes? And I might add that I think they're second or third in the country in attendance. They fill that building up in Omaha every single night. So I don't think it's I don't think it's like an embarrassment to lose a guy to Creighton. Creighton's a very attractive school right now, good education, all that stuff. It's relatively close to here. Doesn't mean that Gopher fans shouldn't be, a little bit wondering, hey, when will the tables turn? And look, every state, like Iowa State's best player or second best player is from Wisconsin, right? Is anybody killing Greg Gard for that? I don't know. But
he's busy stealing all the players in Minnesota, Mike.
True. No question. No doubt about it. That is a part of it. And they're, again, probably a fit factor and a comfort level with some of the AAU programs, and certainly Lakeville North High School, where my kids went. There's been a train from there to Wisconsin in several sports, right? So sometimes it becomes just a comfort thing where, okay, that's where people go. So yeah, you're right. I mean, it's one of those deals where you got to get what you can get. And now everything's switching with the transfer portal. There's going to be fewer worries about high school players. There really are. I do think you're going to need to get guys. I mean, retention's key. Like that's the one thing that PJ Fleck has done very well. I was talking with someone here this week, and I don't know how much stock to put into it, but one of these analytics guys, a guy at the University of Minnesota in the communications department, was showing me, it was a blog post or something, that all these guys that do analytics, the Ken Pomeroys and all these guys of the world, and I don't remember, this was not Ken Pomeroy, it was somebody, but he basically did a study like the last 5 years of all the Final Four teams and all the national title teams. And like every team, the only one common thing they found was that every team that made the Final Four, or almost every team, and it was something like 55% of the baseline was 55% of the scoring return from the previous year. And that was the baseline. That was the floor. Most teams had more than that. And so these teams like Illinois, if you talk about a talent gap, we saw that Saturday. I mean, Illinois's got three NBA players probably on the roster. They just beat UCLA, who was red hot. But they have only one guy back from last year. Like, they have almost no points returning, and they have struggled. There was a struggle over the past 3 or 4 weeks. They lost at Rutgers last week before they won here at Minnesota. So the question will they get things in gear just on sheer talent? I think they will. I will, when the brackets come out, if I fill out my bracket, I think I like Illinois to go a ways. That said, that would buck that trend. I mean, you look, and I, from year to year, I forget now. I'm getting too old to remember who's the defending champion. I guess UConn, and they had UConn a bunch of guys back, and everything else. Now this year they don't have 55% of their scoring back, and they haven't been quite as good. Even though Danny Hurley's self proclaimed the best coach in the blanking country. So there's retention's going to be important. Yeah. So I do think high school recruiting is important. I'm not saying guys shouldn't or won't recruit that way, but like you look at Illinois, they flipped the roster. They've got the most expensive or second most expensive roster in the Big Ten, and it's loaded. Like they have no fear about the talent level. Like that, like they're going to be able to compete. Like if they move the ball the way they moved it against Minnesota, they've got you know that's a Final Four looking team for sure. So and NIL funding was a big part of that. So like we said last week, that's really the crossroads that the Gophers find themselves. And it's uncomfortable for whatever reason for people in Minnesota to have that. Like Illinois has no problem. I mean Illinois. Yeah. Why would Illinois have richer alums than Minnesota? But they have guys that are writing big checks and funding NIL. And T.J. Shannon, who was with the Wolves and had a nice game last night, he was like $1 million or $2 million player. They got him out of Texas Tech for a couple of years, and they find that money. So at some point, the Gophers are going to, you know, and again, we've talked about this 3 weeks in a row now. The fans are going to have to decide. And it's a tough ask, like, hey, I've bought tickets for 30 years. Hey, I've been doing this. I've been doing that. Yep. And now if you really want to be in the thick of it in today's day and age, you really, you know, and I'm not saying everyone has to do this, but they've got to find some deep pockets. They've got to find some businesses locally that are going to support things. And all of that is now part of the deal. And I can't remember, was it you or someone else I was talking with? Like, if you really think about it, the Gophers over the last 50 years really never had a true hope of winning a national championship in either sport, football or basketball. 97 Final Four, you know, they're a few inches away, you know, a few bounces the ball away maybe. But at the end of the day, most years, no. And right now, and so you'd say, well, what does Minnesota have to do? And you'd say, gosh, you know, if they, you know, if it were legal to pay players, maybe they'd have a bag man. Well, now it is. It's totally legal. All these bag men, you know, throughout the southern schools, especially in football, that have kind of been lurking, it's legal now. And so, quite frankly, if you really want the answer, it's never been easier to win a national title if you're at Minnesota, or to contend for the playoffs if you're at Minnesota, than right now. The question is, you just got to go find some dough. Like, if you had $12 million in the football NIL, you could be a playoff team next year, bottom line. It's that simple, you know. They don't have $12 million, and I don't know if anyone is willing to write that check. I'm not even saying that's a great idea, but if you really want to be a playoff contending team in college football, $12 million should probably get you pretty darn close.
No question about it. Before I ask you about the Gopher Men here coming up this weekend, I do want to mention if you ever have the opportunity to check out Hopkins High School, the girls basketball team there, Olivia Bell, product out of Winona here, Mike, could be a star at the Division I level. Gopher women play at Ohio State tonight. I'm just saying, we're talking about in-state recruiting. I would like the Gopher women to go after Olivia Bell. So if you ever check her out, I think you'll be very impressed. But to bring it back to the Gopher men here coming up this weekend, a lot of Big Ten teams, they've struggled mightily making this West Coast road trip. Both USC and UCLA, they're very applicable teams. They've contended with most of the Big Ten. How does Minnesota have a successful West Coast road trip at least come away with a 1-1 split?
Yeah, you got to just grind it out. It's that simple. I'll be honest about the whole thing. I am flabbergasted at how much attention coaches are giving it. Like I joked yesterday on the Ben Johnson show, I'm like, you would think that basketball was never played in Los Angeles, California until the Big Ten invited those two schools to join. Like UCLA won, I don't know, what was it, 13 national titles. Like Oregon and Arizona and Utah and all these schools have been going to L.A. to play basketball for a number of years. I get it's not the same flight, but no one's worried about the flight. All these coaches, I go to every place I go to the Big Ten, and the radio announcers, my colleagues, we all joke about the ops guy and the head coach at all these schools are like, what about traffic, man? How are we going to handle traffic? Do we got to stay in two different hotels? We're catching ball. And I'm like, they've been playing basketball in L.A., you know, since 1900. Just because the Big Ten joined doesn't make it like all of a sudden a crisis that, oh, my God, we got to go play two games. I think they've psyched themselves out. Plus, those two teams are pretty good. Like, UCLA is really good. Like, they're going to be a force. You know, they went through their struggles and Mick Cronin, their head coach, had made headlines there for a while. But he rattled their cage, and they've responded. Now, albeit the other night, they didn't win at Illinois. But look, they were down 18 and came back and made it a game. And USC is kind of a tricky team. They play defense very well. They lack what I would call a true point guard, but they're still very good. They won at Illinois when Illinois was kind of going through its bit of struggles within the last month. And so, one, it's just going to be a harder series. You know, it's like Washington went to Michigan and Michigan State and got swept. Like, they're not going to win those two games, not this year anyway. So sometimes it's just a talent situation. But I do think these Big Ten coaches have just made it such a big deal that they've psyched themselves out. I mean, since August, coaches have been talking about how do you handle this L.A. trip? Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, traffic. You know, the Gopher women, for example, went a couple of weeks ago. They went 0-2. Now, on the women's side, it's even harder because UCLA is number one, and I think USC is like number four or something like that in the rankings. So that's a tough ask, right, to go try to even win one of those games. But my colleague who does the Gopher women, Justin Gard, said that their bus ride from the hotel to the UCLA game was about a 40-minute bus ride. And he said, oh, man, it was 40 minutes, and the coaches, I'm like, 40 minutes? Like when Nona football on a Friday might jump on a bus for an hour to play.
They go 9 hours, Mike.
Yeah. I mean, what are we psyching ourselves up about? 40 minutes. I live in Lakeville. Like it's an hour to Blaine and those teams, I took my 12-year-old baseball team, and we rode an hour to a tournament at an 8 o'clock game on Saturday and won the tournament. Like we're worried about a 40-minute bus ride. Like, what are we doing? It just baffles the heck out of me. It really does. So that's my soapbox for the day.
Do you think it is more mental then than they're just playing good basketball teams?
I think they're good basketball teams, but I do think that they've made sometimes it's a self-fulfilling deal. You make such a big deal out of it, and it's like, oh, this is going to be hard. How is this going to be? So my theory for Minnesota, because they're going to be underdogs in both games and probably big underdogs, is just go say no one thinks you're going to do it. Like, hey, everything's up against us. Grind through it. If you hit some threes, you never know. Like, if they go hit 12 threes on one of the two nights, they might have a shot to win a couple of the games. And then, if you get out of there with one, boy, you'd feel pretty good about it because at this point, you know, the NCAA tournament is off in the yonder. I mean, that's you'd really have to get hot or win the Big Ten tournament. But you want to make the Big Ten tournament.
Right.
I mean, that's where they're at now. They're kind of on a bubble of that because for those that don't know, out of the 18 teams, only 15 will make it. The bottom three are out. Currently, the Gophers would be in, but there's a group of about six teams that, you know, one game's going to separate making it or not. So every game's important. And tiebreakers include, if you have a tiebreaker with two or three teams in there, which certainly could happen, it could come down to who beat the highest team in the Big Ten standings. And right now Minnesota has a win against Michigan, who's number one. So it hold number one in the standings currently. Now, of course, that can change.
Right,
there's still a month left or so of the season. But anyway, at this point, that's what Minnesota's got to look at. So I say just go in, treat it like an underdog, say it's the world against us, grind it out, make some threes and see what happens. But the last thing they should be doing is just, oh my gosh, traffic is so bad. We got to stay in two hotels. I mean, the Gophers, and I don't mean it. The Gophers are going to stay in one hotel on the first night. They're going to fly out Friday, and it's fine. And then they're going to switch hotels, which is good because you want to be closer to the two schools. They're staying in Beverly Hills, California.
Yeah, they'll be all right.
Saturday night, Sunday night, and Monday. I mean, are we really going to worry about whether the team is so up against it that they can't play a decent basketball game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the football team took a 90-minute bus ride. For whatever reason, they flew into the Ontario airport, took a 90-minute bus ride, and beat UCLA. So maybe the basketball team can take a page out of that book. But, yeah, it's been since August. All these, every time the radio guys, we kind of joke about it a little bit. It's just those two programs didn't exist until they joined the Big Ten, and all these Big Ten coaches are losing their mind about travel.
That's Mike Grimm, voice of the Gophers. They'll be in USC on Saturday. You'll hear Mike Grimm's voice right here on the Winona Sports Network. Mike, always appreciate the time. We'll talk next week. Have a good call this weekend.
Yes, sir. Always enjoy it, Jake. Thank you.